Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 18th of March, 2013, and once again, we're joined on the line from Canada by the head and director of the Center for Research on Globalization at globalresearch.ca, Professor Michel Chossadovsky. Professor Chossadovsky, thank you again for your time.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's start into today's conversation by setting the background for people. For those few people on the planet Earth who don't know, the Vatican Conclave spoke last week and they managed to elect a new pope. That would be Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, formerly the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. And it did not take very long before people started pointing out that this man comes with a lot of political baggage and a very interesting history that shows that there might be a certain direction for the next papacy. And actually, you covered this quite well in an article on Global Research called Washington's Pope, Who is Pope Francis I, Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, and Argentina's Dirty War. Tell us about this article and the types of information that you cover in it.
Essentially, during the military government, 1976 to 1983, Bergoglio was provincial of Argentina's Society of Jesus. In other words, he was the top Jesuit official in the country and wielded tremendous power. And when the dictatorship was installed in 76, he, as well as the Catholic clergy in general, the Catholic hierarchy, was firmly behind the junta, and that junta was involved in mass killings, assassinations. I should mention coup on March 24th had the support of the CIA. In fact, even Kissinger was behind it. So that what happened was, first of all, the coup took place, and the Catholic hierarchy was essentially supportive of the military in the targeted assassinations, as well as the campaign against so-called leftists. And this also included members of the Catholic clergy. Now, I so happened to be teaching in Argentina at that time. I was at the National University of Córdoba, which is a northern industrial city. It's the second largest city after Buenos Aires. It was the heart of the resistance movement. It was also a stronghold of the labor unions, and I witnessed that period. It was impossible not to witness it because it was a daily occurrence, and the church blessing the armed forces, reports of nuns being killed and kidnapped and so on. We didn't actually witness what was subsequently called the Dirty War, La Guerra Sucia, because that was revealed subsequently. But we had, there was a feeling that the church was behind the military, firmly behind the military. And that was in contrast to the situation, let's say, in Chile. And I lived through the coup in Chile on 3 years earlier, on 11 September 1973. The Cardinal of Santiago de Chile, Cardinal Silva Enriquez, took a very firm stance against the government of Augusto Pinochet. And thousands of lives were saved as a result. Now, the position of the Catholic Church and the involvement of Jorge Mario Bergoglio was exactly the opposite. Not only did they support the junta, but they actually collaborated with the junta. And that is very clear even in statements made by General Jorge Videla, who led the military junta, who is now serving a life sentence. But he made statements after his arrest and indictment, to the effect that not only did the military commit these atrocities, but they also consulted the Catholic hierarchy as to how they should proceed, and they said, I quote textually, that we kept the Catholic hierarchy informed about the disappearing of political opponents. Okay, they were involved in a policy of arresting people disappearing them, dropping them from aircrafts and so on. And Jorge Vilela said, this was an interview which was published recently in a Spanish magazine. He said, we had many conversations with senior members of the church, including at that time Cardinal Raul Francisco Primatesta, about how the dirty war should be conducted, how we should go after these people. And, quote, they advised us about the manner in which to deal with the situation. And that included not only the actions that they should take in relation to the disappeared, but what they would do with the children. And we recall that those children were then adopted even by members of the military. Now, prior to the coup, and that's very important, I'm trying to place a little bit the context, and Bergoglio played a very key role because he was a very, very influential figure. And he also had a personal relationship with General Jorge Videla and with Emilio Massera, who was essentially the architect of the assassination and disappearance project. They established a prison where these people would go, and then they would torture them, and then they would drop them from aircrafts. And Emilio Massera was the admiral. He was part of the triumvirate, the three leaders who led this coup, from the army, the air force, and the navy. He was head of the navy, and he put this together. And he was very close to the junta, very close. He was very close to the church. So that what you had is a situation of complicity between members of the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, and senior members of the junta. And another dimension of that is that you had the Vatican and the representative of the Vatican, which also was playing a very key role in that regard. And that was the nuncio Pio Laghi. And Pio Laghi was very close to Admiral Emilio Massera, who was involved in these atrocities. Now, just prior to the coup, which took place on March 24th, 1976, senior members of the Catholic Church had meetings with the military, and I presume they were also informed of what was going on. And on the day following the coup, in fact, on the day of the takeover itself, the military leaders had lengthy meetings with the bishops' conference, and they were given the green light. Essentially, they were given the green light, and the representative of the bishops' conference said, "He urged Argentinians, quote, to cooperate in a positive way with the new government, which was one of the most repressive and criminal governments in South America in the course of modern history." And this background defines also the actions of Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who later became cardinal, but at the time he was provincial of the Society of Jesus. And he was sued in 2005 it was a criminal suit for having handed over two Jesuit members who were involved in grassroots projects in the slum areas in Buenos Aires. He handed them over to the military, together with six other members of the parish who were involved in grassroots activities in support of the poor. They were teachers. They were young women. Four women, young teachers, handed over together with two of their husbands. And these people disappeared. They were never. They were never. They are presumed dead and assassinated by the junta. The two priests were released 5 months later. They were just dispatched in some suburb of Buenos Aires. They had been tortured, and one of the priests actually accused Pope Francis, previously provincial, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, of having handed them over to the death squads alongside these six members of their parish who were killed. And there's ample evidence to the fact that he was responsible for these actions. He had a very close, as I said, he's a very close link with the military, and he consulted with the military, and he didn't take a position against the military. Okay, didn't take a position against the military. The military. There was another important aspect is that they, and that what came out in the testimony of Jorge Videla subsequently after his arrest in the 1980s. He said we would always consult with the Catholic Church before we arrested members of the clergy. Okay, we would always consult, and we would get the green light from them, so that there was a collaboration. It wasn't simply, you know, we took these people and then and then members of the hierarchy would say no, you shouldn't. No, they actually said yes, we arrested members of the clergy, we tortured them, we disappeared them, but we always consulted with the Catholic hierarchy as to how to do this, and particularly when it was members of their clergy. So it was always a person who was responsible. So if it with regard to the two Jesuits who were kidnapped by the death squads, the understanding is that this was something he knew about. And the lawyer who launched the lawsuit, Miriam Bregman, said that Bergoglio's own statements proved that church officials knew from early on that the junta was torturing and killing its citizens, and yet publicly endorsed the dictators. And she said, essentially, the dictators could not have operated this way without this key support.
Well, this is fascinating, specifically because of the timing at which this comes. And for those who don't know, there's the largest mass trial yet in the case of Operation Condor. Just now, in the last few weeks, there's been the beginning of a mass trial of 24 Argentinians and one Uruguayan in relation to those atrocities 3 decades ago. And now we have, at this precise moment, the appointment of the first ever pope from the Americas in the history of the Catholic Church. Why is this happening right now, and how does this augur for the future of the Catholic Church?
Well, this has been something which has been ongoing for the last 20 years. The survivors of the dirty war have taken action, particularly in Argentina, because Argentina was really the mainstay of this dirty war and Operation Condor. But I should give a background to this. The United States Secretary of State Henry Kissinger played a behind the scenes role, not only in the military coups in Argentina, but also in Chile, and that's fairly well known. When the coup was implemented in 1976 in Argentina, Kissinger's top deputy on Latin America, William Rogers, told him a few days after the coup. He said, "We've got to expect a fair amount of repression, probably a good deal of blood in Argentina before too long." But in effect, also, Emilio Massera, who was responsible for implementing Operation Condor in Argentina, that is the admiral, he took his instructions from Washington. He He acknowledges this. He was trained at the School of Americas. He was very close to the U.S. military, and he set up this the interrogation and torture center at the Naval School of Mechanics, which is in the suburb of Buenos Aires. It was a sophisticated, multi-purpose establishment. It was there to assassinate several thousand so-called enemies of the state. We're talking about something of the order of 30,000, but again, those figures are impossible to verify. Now, we know that Emilio Massera was in fact the mastermind of this dirty war as far as Argentina was concerned, and he was also in close liaison with Washington throughout. He assisted in the development of Plan Condor, which was a collaborative scheme and which was led throughout Latin America against leftists or people who opposed U.S. hegemony in Latin America.
Well, then I suppose the other question or the other part of this is, to what extent is this being covered in the mainstream media, and to what extent is the real meat of this story being covered up by the scant reporting we've seen on this so far?
Well, this is a very important question. What I've noticed, at least as far as the Western media is concerned, is that some of this came out immediately following the election by the conclave of the Vatican, that there was mention of that, even in mainstream publications like the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Times. But the more recent, the Vatican then started accusing certain media of defamation. At least that was their official statement. And I've noticed that now the media in chorus is presenting Pope Francis as the man of the people, committed to helping the poor, in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi. He took the name Francis because he said he was an admirer of St. Francis of Assisi, and he's portrayed in the Western media mantra essentially as somebody who's grassroots and committed to social justice. His personal history and his endeavors under the military junta point exactly to the opposite. He was consistently targeting progressive members of the Catholic clergy, as well as those committed human rights activists who were working with Catholic clergymen. And he was also undermining anti-poverty programs implemented by, you know, grassroots organizations, which might be categorized as leftist. There were certainly, at that time, there was in Argentina, very important leftist tendency. And these were not necessarily politically inclined people, but to say that he's a man of the people, if he were a man of the people, he would have gone against the junta. He would have taken a stance like Cardinal Silva Enriquez. He didn't. He handed over the human rights activists to the members of the military, and he also focused his attention on the members of the clergy involved in grassroots actions, who were, some of them were members of the theology of liberation, because there was a firm divide between the hierarchy of the Catholic Church on the one hand and the grassroots. Now, I personally, from my standpoint, as far as Jorge Mario Bergoglio is concerned, by supporting Argentina's dirty war, he has blatantly violated the very tenets of Christian morality, which in effect cherish the value of human life. He has handed over people to the death squads, and this is fairly well established. And this is a very serious precedent as far as the Vatican is concerned. We've had a lot of popes which have tenuous backgrounds, but this is the first time, at least in modern history, that we have a pope which is accused of having committed crimes against humanity. And those accusations are, to a large extent, documented by the role of the Catholic Church in the course of this dirty war from 1976 to 1983.
And what is the likelihood that anything will come of this once it's been exposed, now that he has been selected as the next pope? Do you think that there's any possibility that he will ever face prosecution for that?
Well, this is a very difficult question. You know, his position is very similar to other members of the political establishment which have committed war crimes, including presidents and prime ministers of Britain and the United States. I think the Catholic Church, in effect, is a bastion. You don't politically, particularly Latin America, for head of government, let's say Argentina, Cristina Kirchner, to actually go against the Vatican publicly, or to go against Francis, Pope Francis, for his role in the dirty war, would be political suicide. And even interim president of Venezuela, Maduro, has made supportive statements of the new pope. For them to start saying, you know, they're responsible, or he's responsible for crimes against humanity, that will come, but I think it'll come from the grassroots. It'll come from the grassroots of the Catholic Church. People are very much aware of that. Now, there's another very important dimension of this period, because when the military came to power in the CIA-instigated coup, it also was characterized by a major shift in economic policy. The only civilian member of the government was José Alfredo Martínez de Hoz, who took on the Ministry of Economy. He was Minister of Economy. He was an important member of Argentina's business establishment, but he had ties to Wall Street, and he was also a friend of David Rockefeller. And essentially, if you look at the relationship between Wall Street, you know, Washington, the junta, the role of Henry Kissinger, the personal relationship that Henry Kissinger had to David Rockefeller. The fact of the matter is that David Rockefeller was supportive of the junta through his Wall Street appointee, José Alfredo Martínez Oz. This coup was led, was supported by Wall Street. It served to open up the Argentinian economy to American corporate interests. It led, and that's very important, it led to an important watershed, which was the initiation of a process of mass impoverishment of the Argentinian population. I was at the University of Córdoba in March, April of 1976, and I was involved in estimating the collapse in real wages, which occurred. And that collapse in the first few months, that collapse was absolutely dramatic. There was a more than 30% collapse in real wages, which was the result of a freeze in wages. The wages were frozen by presidential decree. So the military came in, they broke the trade unions. That was the project, because under the Peronists, we're not particularly committed to democracy, but they were a democratically elected government, and they were overthrown by the military. But they had this grassroots populist labor unions, which were very powerful. So that the first thing that the junta did was to break the trade unions and go after them, and in the same way as they went after the progressive priests and disappeared members of organized labor and political leaders. And so what happened is that the Argentinian population was impoverished. And I should mention that Argentina was one of the most advanced countries in South America at that time, and in terms of standard of living and in terms of industrial development as well. And so that in essence, this military coup, supported by Washington, implemented by the junta with torture and assassinations, was there to enforce an economic model, which is the neoliberal economic agenda. It was macroeconomic reform. It was trade liberalization. It was the manipulation of currency markets. And all this served ultimately to trigger the impoverishment of an entire country. And that, you can look at it historically from the 70s to today, and the various stages of this crisis, how an entire nation, as a result of military rule, was impoverished, and its national economy was also in large part precipitated into bankruptcy.
Well, this is a fascinating story and obviously still a developing one, so we will continue to keep our eyes on it, and I'm sure there will still be breaking developments at globalresearch.ca, so I hope people will go there for more news and information on this subject. And in the meantime, Professor Michel Chasadovsky, thank you again for your time today.
Delighted to be on the program.